This episode of the Cutting Edge Podcast is brought to you by GlassGadget.com. Showcase Innovations creates tools that help shower door installers be more efficient and save time. Check out GlassGadget.com for more information. Well, hey, everyone. We are here. Apparently, you are too, or you're just watching this on a rerun. Either way, glad that you could join us. The gang's here. They're the usual suspects. And we'll see what happens, you know. I don't know. I'm just kind of winging it tonight. No guest speaker or anything, just ideas. Ideas and friends. Really, that's pretty much all you need. So, what are you guys doing? I've been thinking about stuff, you know, thinking about the group, thinking about shower doors and kind of, just kind of all the touch points that we have here with the group, the Facebook group. Now we're on LinkedIn, got about 35 members in the LinkedIn group. So I'm trying to make it a point to remember to post over there. It's different. It's a whole different ball game over there. I like LinkedIn better than I like Facebook, just because it's just more professional and it's more conducive to that kind of, professional opportunities. You know, the thing about Facebook is just everybody's on, well, not everybody, but most people are on there and it's convenient. We're going on there to see pictures of our grandkids or whatever, you know, just kind of see what's going on. So it's pretty easy to pop in there. So there's a lot more engagement. But, I was thinking about the possibility of maybe starting a newsletter or something. That's kind of one media form that we haven't really tapped into yet. I don't know if people might read things. If something went out once a month, if there was some good info, like insider info in there. What do you guys think? I mean, if we did something like that, it would be important to find some people who would be willing to like write an article, maybe on a monthly basis. I don't know. There might be some guys within the group who would be willing to do that.
I love the idea. My little AI friend that is the other guest on this call.
Yeah, AI friend. I see him
transcribing everyone's. What it's cool is at the end of this call, it's going to have the full transcription of it, the name of who talked and what they said, and I'll be able to not have to type that out or have someone else do it. And then I can tell the AI to at least pull out some great topics from whatever we talked about on the call. And that can be a baseline of whatever goes out in the newsletter, simply a recap of what you discussed on the last call and anything that someone found valuable from a general standpoint of summary of call. And then that'd be easy for whoever wanted to join in to compound on that, to actually add their individual insight, unique insight for that week. But that way there's not such a bulk load on anyone. You're already generating a lot of good, helpful stuff every week. We just need to. And you've already given so many helpful things from just the little transcriptions I've done of y'all's last calls. There's tons of golden nuggets from every member and every guest at some point. All it is highlighting when they said it, making that a post and asking them to elaborate more on it. Because people that were listening a lot of times have already asked for more info. We just never kind of had them back or created a forum for them to keep going on that topic, which think that's a good place to start, but I know we have tons of people here who could really contribute on a weekly basis just on their own.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Robert, because what came to my mind is how about using your little AI friend to go back to all the episodes, mm-hmm. or at least start. It was something that I wanted to do, but just didn't have the time or didn't take the time, was to make notes of all of the episodes, from the beginning, because there's so much wisdom that it's amazing what's in there. It's just somebody has to compile it and put it all together and put it on paper, so to speak. So if that can be done, that would be amazing.
It can be. It took me I thought I was going to do it real fast by putting it on fast forward. It took me like 3 hours to do it to one call manually. And I said, nah, I'm good. And I did the AI, tried that out, and I'm actually going to do that. I'm on the pro version now. So I'll be able to actually submit all the old videos and get a template of it. And then it's just, I'll make it a project and some type of group discussion we can all get on, whether probably in the Facebook group. Oh, there's probably an easy group chat. I think you already started, Chris, that new feature inside of Facebook. If you're a member of the Facebook group, inside of your Messenger, there's like an additional tab now. And now you can actually talk in Messenger with everyone else within that group without having to like exchange phone numbers or create some old new messaging channel.
Yeah. And it's cool because people have actually already popped in there and participated in that. So that's pretty cool, you know, that little feature. And then, because I know for some people, probably if you had a concise little written something, some people prefer that. Some people just like to read, would rather do that than watch a whole video, especially if you can get kind of the juicy tidbits out and put it into just a little document that's like a page or two long. Put that out like maybe once a month. Especially if it's content that's already being created, you know, like Rob's describing. I mean, that's beautiful, you know. So yeah, I just kind of was thinking about that idea, and I thought I might just throw it out there and see what you guys thought of it.
Chris, if you needed somebody to write, I'd be more than happy to help you.
Dude, that would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, I think we could put something together like and have just kind of a, you know, like a column or a few different columns. You know, one could be about, you know, what's new in the industry sort of a thing, or, you know, an interesting project, or maybe even just like an inside, you know, pro tip on how to something in sales or marketing, or I mean, there's a ton of different areas you could explore. So thanks, Bill. Yeah, I'll definitely take you up on that.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. You know, about 6 months ago, it wasn't even nobody was interested in talking about marketing because there was no need to. We were all so busy. Is everyone just as busy now, or is marketing coming back into trend, so to speak?
How is everybody? Is everybody busy? We're pretty busy over here right now. But I mean, that doesn't mean that marketing doesn't matter. I mean, you don't wait. You don't want to wait until you're slow and then start your marketing up. You know, so you have to market all the time.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, are you busier than you normally are at this time of year, or is this your busy time?
Well, you know, it's a different animal now. We're GCS now. It's probably busier than I was when I was by myself, but we're doing a lot more marketing now, for sure. I mean, these guys, Brandon and Chance, you know, they're like, they've got this whole, you know, marketing thing and Google Ads and all this stuff. So they're all over that. So yeah, we're definitely picking up, but we're definitely marketing too.
Are you doing the estimating as well as the installs?
Not much. I'm not doing much of the estimating anymore. I do a little here and there, but that's something that's kind of been taken off my plate.
And is it because it's automated now? People are ordering it without actually...
It's not completely automated. I mean, there's a lot of automation, but there's still humans are participating in every quote, you know. But there are other humans besides me. Yeah. But, you know, so I get involved here and there, but it's like at one point Chance was like, oh, you don't have to do this. You don't have to estimate. I was like, wow, really? Wow. Okay. I'm going to try that for a while, you know? So it's a pretty cool thing, you know, to not have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay. So this is Great topic, though.
Yeah.
So let's say you're going out to you're still installing, though, right?
I am still installing.
So how do you feel? How do you feel installing something that you haven't measured or looked at?
Oh, no, no. I'm still measuring. So I'm still measuring and installing.
Oh.
So I will continue to be. I think the plan is we're like looking for help right now. So I need a helper right now. So if you're in the area and you're listening to this, man, this would be a great place to come to work, believe me. So there's an opportunity here at GCS Santa Cruz. So I'm looking for a helper. But so I will probably move into just measuring. I mean, that would be, you know, managing, you know, the branch, right? And then and measuring. And then get out of the installing part of it here shortly. But so I'm measuring, but so most of the estimating that happens here in our system happens before there's ever a measurement. So we've got it set up to where people will contact us, and then we communicate primarily by text messaging.
Right.
So we'll give, you know, a potential customer the opportunity to like send us photos and measurements, and then we send them back a quote. And the quoting is actually really very accurate. I mean, I rarely have to make any changes once I go out to do the on-site measure, unless, you know, I upsell them, which, you know, I tend to do. So then that changes the cost. But they've already been informed, you know, it's going to be this much extra for this feature, this much extra for that feature, like Starfire glass or the, you know, the nano coat. So most of that's already done.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Just trying to get a feel for what you did now.
Is somebody in-house quoting them, or is this an automated website feature?
Rob, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
It's a combination of both. We have the automated process that allows the customer to make every selection possible if they know it, along with bypassing it and just making general selections. And as soon as they input that, the people on call are notified with that information and are encouraged to give a fast estimate as possible to that customer based on what they have. If they need any context, they immediately ask for the whatever may have not been given at that time. If they did fill out our process as much as they could, we can give them an estimate very accurate to a T. The only thing we need to do is send some two pictures back to make sure they wanted the inline versus the slider, or if they wanted both estimate options because they weren't sure of their price range. So we can usually get that initial estimate out or get the initial question for needing clarifying answers, more better answers on their form that they might've bypassed some things. And then, so there's always a person involved in every single estimate to get the eyeballs on. Our automations try to pick up, in case the customer wants to fill everything, every single thing that person needs to fulfill that estimate on their end.
Thanks. Now, are you getting a lot of leads? I guess, what are the ratios of the people that are getting their quotes that way and then following through to get measured?
A lot more. I don't have the conversion data. I have the things built to give me that data, but I could probably present that to y'all later and see what those differences are, because that is very good data. I like to know what is the ratio of calls versus texts versus walk-ins versus people that might have went through this automated process just to fluff around and not really convert. But what we've noticed is a high increase in people going through these processes that we've built for them and liking it, and us being able to provide a more seamless, faster experience for the ones that did provide it, and everyone being happier at the end. That's what we have found. Not everyone does it. Some people actually, right in the beginning of our process, we noticed we needed to actually start saying, hey, if you prefer a call, just let us know. You don't have to go through this. And one out of 10, one out of 20 actually say, please call me now. They'll call them and they'll quickly tell you what kind of customer they're going to be. And that's fine. We put them in that category in our system. There's four ways that we can communicate with people, or more than that, but we can D&D any channel so that it's very relevant to everyone that might be communicating with them. These are not the channels that you are going to be communicating with them on going forward. And they can proceed with email or call or however that person preferred.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
My guy, I wasn't sure. I'm on my phone, so I wasn't sure if I was coming through or not. So we obviously talk, and I know, you know, I use follow-up, and there's been a time, I love technology, right? And I feel like with follow-up, when I first started using it, and I kind of harnessed the power of the automation, I may have overdone it. Because what I did was like, look what I can do. I can automate this and this and this and this. And I kind of noticed the drop in sales because there was talking to robots or getting automated this and automated that. So I actually talked to Bill, and Bill does things very differently. He's very hands-on, his whole company. And I was like, well, I'm doing this wrong. Like I lost the niche,
the human element.
Yeah, I lost the art of the actual sale. Mm-hmm. Like we are selling that. We're selling ourselves and our personalities and our companies and us along the trust. We lost it. We lose the trust when it's full automation. So what I've done is automate the beginning portion. When they fill out the form on the website, they'll get a text saying, you know, introducing the company, asking for pitches, blah, blah, blah. When it comes to the actual sale, I need to hire a salesman. That goes unsaid. But I take over. You know, I get them on the. I try to get them. It's difficult to get people on the phone these days. That's the other thing. So, when you say you talk to text and everything, you can be informative over text, but you can't. You can't hear my voice. You can't hear that I actually care. I do. You know, we actually care about what we're selling you. We're not trying to just sell you and, you know, scoot you along. So my process is I'm automated at the beginning. We're manual in the middle, and then after I get the sale, they don't really need to talk. They don't even want to talk to me anymore. My automation takes back over, whereas as I move them down the road in my CRM, they get automated texts saying, hey, we're waiting for your deposit. Hey, you left the deposit, which is a cool thing to follow up. They get the emails and the texts now. And as I move them along down the road saying, all right, everything's been ordered. Once I move them into that category, they get another text and says, hey, just a quick heads up, everything, your order's been placed. As soon as we get the confirmation with your ETA, you'll hear from the office and schedule. And like, if you look at my Google reviews, constantly, they're so transparent. They're so communicative, you know, they communicate really well and everything. So I feel like I'm still trying to find that balance of the art of the sale in that middle, when it's the most important to like talk to people. And then after that, you can kind of automate and coast in the office.
Dead on. We did that we've been using follow-up for years. And before anyone else used it, it was about a year and a half of us going down that rabbit hole, fully automating everything, realizing it was not a great way, and pulling back and adding the human element. And we're constantly trying to find that balance too, which is why in follow-up, we try to look at anyone that comes in that first pipeline. We can start setting automations that say, if they've been in this pipeline X amount of days, add this stale tag on them, notify salesmen to call this person. So we noticed after we went and cleaned a lot of pipelines that of data that got collected over the year, man, look at all these people that just never got actually called or beyond one time. Even though we have this clean system, the automation did its 10-day sequence. The customer never responded once, but when a salesman went into that pipeline, saw those contacts, called each customer, he actually generated some sales from these people who just needed to know there was a human on the other end of these 10 messages, emails, things that they got. That was kind of their only hindrance from using us. And yeah, we found that it can't be only automated. And we would hate for anyone to do it only manual, but finding that balance is the beauty of follow-up or any system that's customizable. Find what works for you. And like, I love that you still came back to use it in all your other middle stages where it didn't matter.
We just unplugged the automation from the actual sale, the talking, but kind of circling back is it's also finding, not only finding the balance for your company, you're also finding the balance per customer, because I feel like a younger working customer, of 30 to, late 40s, they're working, they don't have time, they can send a quick text from their desk, right? Whereas the maybe the older kind of range. They like that kind of hands. They want to come to the showroom. They want to touch and feel. They want to hear from the person. They want to talk to us. And that was kind of a question that I was leading up to for Bill is, Bill, I know your area is, it's like a big retirement community. Is like the majority of your customers on the oldest? I mean, obviously, you're doing a volume that, like, I know you're all over the place, but, like, do you find that your, like, older clientele want that more hands-on kind of face-to-face over the phone? They'll answer the phone when you call because, like I said, 30 to 40, they don't even answer the phone. So it's hard to get my face or my voice in front of these people when they don't answer the phone.
They definitely do, because a lot of our customers, service is just as important as the sale. So they kind of test the waters to see how we respond during the sales process, because they assume that if we answered a phone and all during sales, that we would do the same for service, which we do. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the people here are on your second, third, fourth house. They've been through this before, and they want to meet and know who they're dealing with. So yes, even ones on younger couples now that are having homes built and the builders are sending them into the showroom for selections, they still want to see who they're dealing with.
Yeah, that's ideal. It's nice to hear from the builder because obviously they trust the builder. They're building them, you know, they spent $1 million with them. They obviously trust, you know, what they say and where they send them. But like, so I know you track a ton of everything. I know you track right by down to the zip code. I mean, do you track demographic wise, age wise? Is like, do you find the majority of your customers is more on that retire? Because I know, like, I know where your main.
Yeah. Place. I want to say no, but not yet. We are implementing HubSpot, and we've been implementing it over the last 6 months, and we keep adding fields of things to add in. And we had to make a decision on what was the most important for us to track, because I mean, you can track just about anything you want. You create a field for that. That wasn't one that was interesting. We just figured if we treated all customers the same, that age didn't matter.
Can you even really ask people how old they are?
No, you have to kind of, well, in a way, you can ask questions that might help them or help us figure it out within a range, right?
Who's your favorite band?
Yeah, right. What TV show do you remember? You know, what TV show?
What did you have for lunch today?
Soup.
Soup and Jello. Weed Jello.
How many pills did you take this morning? And what color were they?
Yeah, exactly.
What time do you typically have dinner?
Yeah, what time do you have?
Yeah, there you go.
Because I'm always trying to gauge, like, all right, how do I talk to the next customer? Like, and I'm just trying to figure out if the age thing is a big factor in how people want to be communicated with.
Mike, if you could have only spent more time with Keith, oh my God, the information he can get out of people is just unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. It's a wide open book. He'll find out the year they graduated from high school, because no matter how old they are, he's going to say, I think I was in the class with you, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But it's that communication with customers just makes them feel good. Sometimes they want to spend more money. Sometimes it's not about price. It's not. It's, you know, you have the quality and you feel that, or they feel trustworthy. They come in and see you. And especially if they come in a showroom and there's other customers in there too, boy, they have a good feeling about that.
Yeah. I feel like when customers come into my showroom, especially couples, I can pretty much make the sale on site. You know, I can make them feel so comfortable because I'm joking around with the husband and wife, you know what I mean? You can kind of banter and play them off each other and, you know, get them both laughing at each other and, you know, just the, but they don't all come to the showroom and then step down from that is they don't all answer the phone. They want these texts and you can't hear me over the text. You're just getting data. You know what I mean? So there's no way to build trust. by sending a text saying, hey, you're looking at about $2,100 for a door, a panel, it's 72 inches, there's a couple hinges, you don't, there's no pitch, you know, it's lacking. But that's also the way of the future that a lot of people are going towards. And it's hard to personalize the sale.
How many times have you texted somebody, a friend, a relative, a significant other, and it got interpreted?
Yeah.
Mean, nasty. They said that you were short with them. Right. I had a great example this week on that app called Nextdoor. Some lady asked how much does anybody know somebody to install a tub shower door? And one of our customers said, yes, my shower door, ours cost us $2,200. And I answered as my shower door, I said, let's say her name was Natalie. Natalie, this customer was asking for installation. She wasn't asking for the door itself. She wanted to know how much to install a door. So I was afraid that the $2,200 was going to scare the lady off.
Yep.
The lady, Natalie, that I responded to got upset, says, oh, never mind, I'll just take it down. That's not what I was hoping for. So, you know what I'm saying? It was interpreted. So she interpreted that I was making her out to look stupid. And she didn't want to get involved in that. So she just took it down, took her name out of the thread. Mm. And again, that's how texts get interpreted.
That's the danger of those like one line little messages. Yeah.
And I got an A type personality. If somebody asks me how much to install, I'm answering that. I don't assume that they want a door also, because that, you have so many other questions to ask them. What thickness glass, what color finish, you know, what size. Mm-hmm. So she asked for install. But I will say 80% of the people that answered did not give the answer that she asked for, or at least what I interpreted that she asked for. Maybe I interpreted it wrong. Maybe I was the wrong one there.
Right. You gave her the information she was looking for, just maybe not the way, who knows?
Exactly.
You never know. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, so
you gave her the information that she said she wanted, not necessarily what she actually wanted.
Yes. Yes. And it's what I thought she said she wanted.
Right. It's the nuance.
How did I interpret what she wrote? Maybe she did mean she needed the whole thing. I don't know. But with so many people going to Home Depot, Costco, and everything else, and then trying to get somebody to install it, I assume that was the rabbit hole she was going down.
One of the things that I have been kind of testing for the customers that I can't seem to get on the phone, but I want the job, is I actually have a camera set up in my office. I do a screen record with my ugly face in the corner, and on the left side is my face, and on the right side is their quote, and it's me talking about their quote, and I go line by line. I'm like, you know, you're looking at the clear glass, and this is the surface protection, and blah blah. This is the door on the panel, that this is where the clips will go, because our quotes are pretty informative, but a lot of people will get them and be like, oh, this guy's more expensive than that guy, I'm going to go with it. You know what I mean? And they just don't bother to read. I don't send you the cheapest price. I send you what I think you're going to want, you know, what I think is going to look best in that opening, and we can discuss it further. But if I can't get you on the phone, we can't discuss it. You know, so I try to put my face right next to that quote, and it takes me anywhere between a minute and a half to 3 minutes to record one of these videos, send them the text, because that's what they're looking for. And instead of sending a text with either a price or just the PDF or whatever, I send them a link that it plays a video for 3 minutes, and it has me talking about the quote. And I've been asking people that after I sell it and they go with me, I go, hey, let me just ask you a quick question. Just say kind of a, I go, how did that come across? Did you like it? Was it informed? I've been getting pretty good feedback on it. So I've only been doing it a week or so. It's a little uncomfortable, but I don't really care
anymore. Is there a certain app you're using to do that?
I use Vimeo. The Vimeo has come a long way in terms of, you can just log into their website. It hooks up to your camera. You can decide whether you want it front facing, rear facing, a screen record. So I have, you know, four monitors going. So I'll share this one monitor and I'll have their quote and I'll drag my face in there. And it's just me in front of my background talking about their quote. And I can use the cursor to just kind of go line by line. And at least that way, oh, it's all the same information, but you hear my voice and you see my face. So I've been trying to come up with a way to personalize the sale when I can't get you on the phone, but I'm giving you the information that you're looking for. So
I like it. I like that. That's a good idea, man.
I've been trying. Be careful what screen you share, Mike.
Yeah, I know. You have to always double check.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've been trying it for, like I said, a week or two. It seems to be, when you ask, no, I don't think people are going to say, yeah, it was stupid. But, you know, I've been getting good feedback for better or for worse.
Well, you're going to get good feedback from your sales. It's getting that feedback from the ones that you didn't sell to see what went wrong. Obviously, everything went well with the one that you sold because you sold it.
Right.
So you've got to get that feedback from the ones that you're losing.
They don't answer the phone.
That's more important. I know. You're getting positive feedback, but it's probably false for what you're looking for.
Need a control group.
You're trying to find out where your deficiency is and how you can improve, right?
Right. It's They're positive because it works.
Yeah, yeah, right. Right.
Like, yeah, I get it. I just, there's no way for me to ask the people that it didn't work.
That's right.
Michael, what was the name of that? Vimeo?
Vimeo, VIMEO.com. It just runs right through your browser. You don't need an app or anything. It'll hook into your webcam or whatever. Like I said, for better or for worse, it takes me a minute and a half to do it. You know, so if that's going to get me the $3,000 sale, then I'll spend a minute and a half.
Sure. Yeah, I like it.
Always trying to innovate. Just innovate.
I give you credit for doing that. That's very good. It's very good.
I'll send you one of my videos.
Can't get enough of you.
I'm exhausted. I just got home. What time is it? It's 8:30. I just walked in the door because we're closed next week. So I was trying to get a whole bunch of stuff and deliveries and everything out the door, ready to go out the door tomorrow. So I'm exhausted.
Good for you.
Is there going to be a meeting next week?
Is there going to be a meeting?
Well, 4th of July.
Absolutely.
4th is a Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
I might log in from the middle of Lake Winnipesaukee. I don't know. We'll see.
Right. We rarely miss one of these things. I mean, unless a holiday falls right smack dab on it, we pretty much are always here.
A major holiday, not Juneteenth.
Yeah, right, exactly. It has to be like real, not one of those made-up holidays.
Just checking.
There's some people who'd have us take the whole month off, I think.
Yeah.
Not saying who.
Just the slow to curve.
Anyway.
Well, it's Glacier Appreciation Month next month, right?
There you go.
Yeah, we'll just all take it off.
I thought that was every month.
It is at my house, yeah.
I thought that was every month. That's what my installers told me. It was every month.
It's every day I get a check.
Yeah, that too.
You know, I was going to say, back to the texting and miscommunications because of that, whatever. And not being able to communicate well with the customer, one of the things that I always say is, I look just like every other competitor on email and text messages and all of that. I shine when I can have a face-to-face conversation with them. That's when I do my best selling because of the nuance and because the personality comes through and they see that I dress decently. I can put two sentences together without the F-bomb, whatever it is. And they see.
Or with the F-bomb necessary.
Well, I mean, if you're in New York City, that's required, right? But demographics, exactly.
Right.
But the point is that because of that, I don't do selling over the phone or emails or whatever. I want to show up at their house and put my tape measure to it. Call me old school. And in doing so, I have that personal interaction because it works. It works for me. And I get some feedback from customers that say, yeah, I went with you because this other guy just, they took my photo that I sent them and sent me a quote over the email, and they never saw it. They never measured it. They don't have a clue what it is. And to me, that's odd, but obviously quite a few of you guys sell that way and it works for you. I just choose not to because I don't think it's going to work as well for me.
You sell both ways is kind of where, like, there are some people who will not get the shower from us at all unless they have that experience. And we've learned to, like, try to recognize and identify them before we turn them off, because we don't want to lose the person who will buy the $1,000 TV without leaving their living room and have it shipped to their front door. Because there are some people who have to go and see it and touch their electronic devices. There are other people who are like, I don't have to see nobody, swipe. All I got to trust is that if it's an Apple brand, I already know all the process behind my money is going to come to me. They're a trusted brand. And when your brand is good enough, I think you have that. You don't have to prove yourself so much. And a lot of people have great brands. A lot of people in this group have established brands. And that's where I think, like, marketing saves y'all. People knowing who you are save y'all. Referrals, now you can estimate over the phone if you were able to someone that the contractors that know they're already under your list, so they can send you those five pictures and you can get them that quote without having to go on site, because they already know, like, you're trusted and branded. We found those unique experiences help to save a lot of time and money, but we have to try to find out how to identify the people that don't want that, because there's so many people we found in that first year that got left on red because they needed someone and they got no one. And their responses, yeah. Some of them that actually did let us know that exact message you said. We didn't go with y'all because fill in that blank. Mm-hmm. The loss of human touch.
You know, the other thing is, I think some people want to communicate via text only. Like, we've already talked about that. The problem is they don't know that they're pigeonholing themselves and hurting themselves in the sales process, because they don't find out about some of the different options that we have available, because they don't ask. And because it's difficult for us to broach that subject because it's so wordy in a text message, right? They just want wham, bam, and done, but they don't know that they're missing out on a quality part of the sales process. And that's part of why I don't like that either, even though that's what they want, that's what they say that they want to be communicated by, it's hurting them in the long run.
But is it hurting them if they really don't want that? Like, if they want it quick, because we do all of it. And evaluating customer is the key to the whole thing, being a salesperson and being able to quickly identify who that customer is, what they want out of what you're giving them, and what experience they want. If they don't want a lot of back and forth, I mean, Rob mentioned buying TVs. People are buying cars without ever seeing them on their computer. So buying a product like a shower digitally is not as crazy as people think it is. But the key is doing what works for you is very important, because if you don't like the process, you're not going to be good at it.
Yeah.
And then finding out what the customer wants. So we have a showroom, we sell digitally, and we will also come to your house. We cover all bases, because if we're hard-headed about our sales, then we're going to be unsuccessful. And I want every customer that is the right customer for me.
Yeah.
But some of those customers that don't fit into some of our processes, I don't want them. That's a key factor too, that we keep in mind, is if they are really combative to you know, how we do what we do, it's likely that they probably aren't the customer for us anyway. So I get what you're saying, because I grew up in that. That's what I did for, you know, 15 years of my career, was that exact process. But volume and change in market and Amazon changed that for everybody. But you have to do, I think, to be successful, and I've talked to numerous people in the group about this, you have to be malleable. You cannot be hard-headed in what you're doing unless you just don't care about what you're losing business-wise. And that's just, we know that's not good business practice. But yeah, it's, I see all avenues as ways to make revenue. And that's the goal, you know, so.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if I communicated that well. What I was getting at was, say they went with us and they bought what they said that they wanted, all via, you know, text and email, whatever. But then they find out later that they could have had low iron, but they didn't know it was available because we didn't get to that part in the sales process, because they said, I want clear glass, just, you know, wham, bam, done. And then they find out later, well, I have white tile and it would have been better to have low iron. That's what I was getting at. It might hurt them in the process, even using especially using the process that they chose. That's all I meant.
You know, I want to follow up on what Billy said, you know, how a lot of people are buying cars online and things from Amazon. A lot of times they feel comfortable doing that because most of those companies have a return policy set up. And a return policy is easy too. It's not that easy when you're doing a custom shower door or you've already installed it in your house, then they don't like it. I think that's the difference on a lot of these. They go ahead and order because they have this comfort level that they can return it if they don't like. And return has become a big, big deal. That's why Amazon has been doing so well. They set up returns so easy.
Yeah.
And I think that causes a challenge for our business.
The kicker is there's still an on-site aspect. It's like we're kind of ignoring the fact that there's still an on-site interaction and sales process and upsell and options and all of those things. That doesn't go away.
No way to avoid that.
No.
Yeah, the digital just avoid that.
Exactly. So we're still getting that interaction. What we're eliminating is the tire kicker, I don't know what this costs and I still want you to come to our house. We're eliminating that on the front end. So even, you know, if we sell something, that doesn't mean it's sold. That can always be altered, changed, upsold, all of those things. There's still that very intimate interaction that a salesperson is going to have on site. But we still have some customers that don't want to have that. And that was very real during COVID, where it was, we literally sold it digitally and there was no interaction outside of that. So that is a thing, but we still pride ourselves on going in there and evaluating the space even after the digital sale. But that digital sale for us is key. Like we love it, but also the whole point is do what works for you, because you've got to do it well. And if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to do it well. I love text message, so it works really well for me because that is what I like. And I put my team on it. But if you don't like that kind of interaction, you're probably not going to do well at selling it that way. And that's business to business. So like I always say, you got to do what works for your place and you personally and what makes you happy in your space, how you approach it.
And in follow-up, we made templates of, in that beginning of the sales process, nobody gets an estimate without also seeing the glass samples, the hardware samples, the color samples. We've seen a picture of their tile. We make recommendations. We tell them the price differences and why people choose difference. We've made videos, pictures, graphs, and web pages. So we can try to give them, we don't want to force our way on you. We want to learn what you're most comfortable with and then show you all the avenues you have to be educated so that we feel you did make the best decision. Because that first year, Brian, I made a lot of mistakes. And we were still doing windows and mirrors after the sale and them learning they could have had low E after the sale and them learning that they could have had a beveled edge or something else that we could have easily done at the factory stage, but now we got to look,
right.
We got to look opposite of what our branding says, professional, fast, efficient, all the things, quality, craftsmanship, all that. If we didn't get that verification right in the beginning, we were going to damage our brand big time. And that's, I did that mistake in the first year. That's why we started including, hey, we need to find a way to educate these people, whichever way they consume content, about the options to them, so that they don't feel after the fact some other professional shows them or asks them, why don't you do it this way? And they're like, I didn't know that wasn't an option. We wanted to kill that statement ever being a phrase someone could say to us. We want them to, after we digitally estimated, went on site and provided all those hard samples they may have inquired more about, and then went on from there. And so we definitely had to re-include that and not sell anything, because we have to return our own things if we try to go off their measurements.
For sure.
So honestly, Rob, one of the things that I'm taking away from this call is probably tomorrow I'm going to add on to the form on my website that says preferred method of contact and let them tell me.
That's a good one. We don't have that.
If they call, then we can ask, you know, how do you want us to get back to you? But if they're on the website, we can say, what is your preferred method of contact? I've filled out forms with that before, and until this call, I never really put it together why it was so important to ask that question. But just from this call alone, I'll probably implement that tomorrow.
Well, Mike, what happens if they fill it out and they say their preferred method is text? You really haven't gained anything, have you?
Not really. But if they say their preferred method is phone call, then we can kind of skip the whole back and forth over text. And then when I call, I know they're going to call, as opposed to just the thing ringing and me leaving a voicemail. And then, you know, they're like, oh, this guy's trying to sell me something.
I agree.
You have the videos though that you're sending too via text. So that's wonderful. I mean, I think that's the personalization that you're looking for, and that's still considered text message, is it not?
I send a link with the Vimeo link. So I can either send that over email, I can send it over text. That's pretty much it. But that's just kind of that's just me trying to get my face and my voice in front of them without, you know what I mean, without being too intrusive to be.
Man, if I got a
link. I think it's perfect.
If I got a link with your face on it. If I got a link with your face on it, I swear I got hacked.
Tell me about it. I need to hire somebody else that's a better shape, maybe. I don't know.
I don't mean it that way. What I mean is getting a link and not knowing or expecting it. There's no way in hell I'm clicking on a link.
No. Well, it comes from the main line. So it comes from the line that they've already gotten text from, or the number that they've called and they've interacted with. So it comes from the main line. And it'll say, hey, you know, Bill, it's Michael at Ideal Shower Doors. I put your estimate together. Just click on this link. It's me reviewing it. I'm also going to email you this PDF over, so you'll have a copy of it as well.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah,
it's a little bit more than just like a hey, click me. And
yeah, exactly.
Feeling lucky?
Click here.
Yeah, yeah. Never know.
We also have to ask ourselves if people prefer text messages. It might not be because they're rude or dismissive. It might be because they're busy or shy. And so if they still might want that personalization, but they might not be at a point at that moment where they can handle that. So a video via text, as long as it's, you know, prefaced with, hey, here's a video explaining what we do. You know, I think a lot of people would be very receptive to that, including me. Like, I just don't have time to talk on the phone with everybody all the time. I just don't. And I know my sweet angel husband is very shy and he doesn't like talking on the phone. So that, I mean, it's not just because we're millennials and dismissive. It's more practical in our life.
Yeah.
So I like the digital because for the same reason that we're on this call right now, it's 9 o'clock at night. If I want information, it's there waiting for me. I don't need to try to get somebody on the phone at 9 o'clock at night when I'm sitting home. I just ate dinner, I'm watching TV or whatever. So the digital thing to me is I can get you information that you can read or view at your own pace, at your own time, when you're home and comfortable. And I also send you a link to leave the deposit, right? So you don't have to try to call me during business hours or get my secretary or somebody on the phone to leave that deposit. Just click on the link. Leave the, if it's all good, this quote looks good, just click on the link. So I'll get deposits at 10 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? When the husband and wife are sitting home watching TV, you know, and making the decision together. So the digital is great. It's just, it can't be the whole thing. It has to be, like Billy said, it has to be a little bit of everything.
For sure. But I love the video thing that you were talking about too, not only because you can send it over text, but because a husband or a wife can show their partner later in the day and say, hey, this is what I did today, or this is what I talked about today. And so now you've effectively sold the shower to both parties without having to do twice the work.
Right. And outside of business hours, if like, a, you know, that's always the key. It's just like, it's, there's only so much time in a day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So I actually had a customer that we went to go measure her shower door. We brought the samples and everything. And she actually thought that the standard clear glass that we were bringing, we were tricking her. So it's, I'm in Boston, East Boston, Somerville, Winter. They're a very old school Italian, skeptical, you know what I mean? They've been through the ringer, right? So she actually thought we were bringing green glass and then the other one, and we were trying to upsell her. And I was like, Josephine, please, I know what 20 minutes, please come to the showroom. Let me show it. She actually came to the showroom. I am showing her my display on the back wall with the low iron glass and the standing clicker. She still didn't believe it. I go, Josephine, and she brought her husband because she wasn't being taken advantage of. But this is when I shop. So I go, come on up back, come to my shop. I walked her around my shop. I go, you see that pile of that quarter inch clear? That what color is that pile of glass? She goes, green. I go, what color is that pile of single, green. I go, it's all green. I go, that's clear. Like, and it took that. It took not only my talk, it not only took my salesman on the road, my estimator on the road, showing her a sample in the showroom. It actually took me walking her through my friggin' shop to get her to understand that I am not tricking
her. Get her to believe that clear glass is green.
That's it. But most people are cool with the sample. Some needs to see it in the showroom. I needed to handhold this lady in my shop. But again, it's a little bit of everything. Just depends on the customer.
What a great name, Josephine.
Old school Italian
lady. Hey, what I found out about... What I found out about Boston people is they're cheap.
No.
What?
I have a few customers that are from Boston. They are cheap as hell. Like when they say they're from Boston or I get a phone number, it says Boston. I'm like, oh, shit. All right.
Dude, that's racist.
I know. I don't care. But anyway. Hey, so
yeah, you know, I think it's really important to know your target audience. And it's like, if you think that your target audience is everyone, then you don't have a target audience. I mean, and that's the rule. It's like, if you're trying to sell to absolutely everybody, you're selling to nobody. You need to know who your customers are and target them. And it's going to be different for different people, you know? And I love what Rob is saying about just, hey, if you don't like communicating that way, you're probably not going to do a good job. Or maybe it was Billy that was saying that. One of you guys, y'all sound the same to me. that's racist. You know, it's how do you sell to the customer that you want to win? And even here at like GCS at different locations, it's like we operate different here in Santa Cruz than they do, you know, in Long Island or in Phoenix. I mean, it's because our customers are different. We got people from Santa Cruz. They're like weird. There's weird people. I mean, you know, the saying about Santa Cruz is like, keep Santa Cruz weird. That's what they have on bumper stickers. It's like, keep Santa Cruz weird. It's so weird that people are proud of how weird it is. So So it's like, you need to, you know, if I'm going to be successful selling to these people, I need to, you know, think like a weird person, which honestly, you know, isn't that hard for me. But yeah, you know, and I'm not trying to sell to everybody. I'm trying to sell to like the more affluent people. I mean, if someone, you know, slips through the cracks and they're just like a regular person, you know, and I mean, I don't mind doing their shower tour, you know what I'm saying? but I've got definitely, you know, a certain customer in mind. And I think when I'm listening to Brian talk, you know, about how he sells, you know, it's like he's got a certain customer in mind. He knows his community, you know, he knows his clientele, he knows how he wants to interact with them. And obviously, you know, he's successful at it. So, you know, it's important to know that and have a strategy, I think.
Can I ask a quick question about follow-up that I might have missed earlier?
Please do.
Thank you. Are you able to create your own fields that track different things, just like Bill was saying about HubSpot?
Yes. We have custom fields, unlimited, that are attributed to contacts, and they just wrote out the beautiful custom fields per opportunity, which is every contact can have 10, 20 jobs, and over time, that can get a little chaotic. So now being able to attribute specific things to each and every one of those opportunities is available to us, so I can go and have a lot on my plate again. So, but yes, you can. We also have tags, which every system has. Any CRM should have some sort of tag identifier that's visible to everyone on the surface that you can put to kind of help everyone have a bird's eye view of all the important data so they don't have to keep clicking just to find out info. But yes, follow-up does have that, as well as HubSpot and that's some great. Other basic CRMs you have.
So basically, Christina, you can put on here, is this customer from Boston? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Are they from Santa Cruz?
Yeah. Because you're going to want to weed those people out.
Yeah.
From Boston or Santa Cruz.
Adrian would want that for sure on his.
Yeah. Get rid of those guys.
Well, weirdly
enough, well, qualifying, weird, right?
But... Yeah, a little bit.
You got to qualify your customers, man. Sorry, Christina.
We want to track professions. That's okay. We just want to track professions. Like I measured a shower door a couple days ago for a guy who works for Habitat for Humanity Restore. And I don't know how big that is where you guys are, but that's kind of big here. Yeah. So I want to keep his contact information searchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have company profiles. You can attach individuals that you create to companies and then create separate buckets and newsletters that you can only send to them and makes mass actions really easy. I did just finish updating the weekly newsletter on the page inside of the Zoom chat. So if you go to that same shower door professionals page, I added a sign up here for weekly newsletter section. And I just finished the automation that you'll get. So if you sign up for that, you'll get an email and you'll be tagged in my system with some tags and custom fields that will let me know and remind me to do something about what I just said I was going to do about this summary of call. So we can have that. Hopefully.
I'm signing up for it right now.
Yeah, go sign up for it now.
Yeah, God. I want that newsletter.
That's great.
Yeah, I'll summarize some key points from this call and then I'll start there. And then, of course, the past videos will definitely be a project to undertake, but it's worth it because, like Brian said, there's tons of great stuff y'all shared.
That's true. That's true. One. This is where I get all my info right here. Awesome. What else? Anything else? We got 1 minute. 1 minute.
I did want to let everyone know, like phone companies are being crazy with A2P compliance. Well, that's not crazy. It's big, huge, important updates that are rolling out to anyone communicating with customers across the board. I'm sure a lot of y'all's platforms have this covered, but some things they're going to be looking for are every one of your online forms should have some sort of box that talks about I agree to being opted into text messages, and another box underneath, one of those big, you know, terms and conditions kind of boxes that just talk about by opting into this, they're agreeing to getting messages from you, all those typical opt-in and opt-out boxes. They're going to start looking for that on all of your official websites that are attached to your official websites that are registered with your IRS EIN. They want to really verify that real companies are legitimately sending customers, because they are going to do something extreme about all these bad messages we're getting from all these spammers. And we're all going to have to be very verified. So it's good things for us, but things y'all should be start including in your processes, these opt-out messages. As soon as they contact you, hey, welcome here, at any time, say stop to get out of this message. Those little things, the compliance people are really going to want to look for that, not just in hospitals, not just in financial industries anymore. Everyday guys are going to have these little opt-in, opt-out kind of things there. So something that's rolling out, you hear a lot about in the next month or two.
Thank you.
Is that something follow-up has?
Yeah, we do the ATP compliance for you. I just sent Brian an email, whoever else, that I don't have all the information I need. But yeah, we'll submit all your numbers for you and keep you updated on that end. Make sure when you call people, hey, sometimes my number isn't going through. Is my number flagged? We'll do all that, making sure the health of your email sending and your all those things. That we'll submit your inputs to the databases that look for these things. They'll give us a report, a score for you on your emails, phone numbers, and let us know if there's any missing things that you can do to be a more qualified sender and reputable and to the highest degree of we're verified. Just like Google My Business is allowing people to be verified and all these badges. It's in the age of AI and fake things and how fast these false positives can be generated. The ability for us to verify who we are by eyeball, print, facial recognition is scary, but also more important. So people can't generate these fake things about us and take our stuff. So these are the first steps in a big world that's coming, of course.
Well, thank you.
You heard it here first. Hey, thanks, everybody. Really appreciate your participation. See you again next week. Hey, this is Chris Phillips, and I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. You may want to join the Shower Door Professionals group on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and search for Shower Door Pros, and you'll find us. I look forward to seeing you.